You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hey, John.
Hey, Alan.
Hey. And for those listening, yeah, we probably sound a little different this week because, you know, for one, we don't have Devin, so we always have to be creative and find ways to record. So we're using a different platform this week. And second of all, I've had this freaking nasty cold for the last 3 days, and I just sound just, yeah. Anyway.
But at least it makes your voice a little deeper, so you can, like, sing Duke of Earl really well.
Yeah, now we just need to add this robotic background, and I'd be Darth Vader. Luke, you don't know the power of the dark side. Anyway, yeah. It's Sunday morning. How goes it?
It was pretty good. I mean, we actually had a preseason game. I'm excited to, like, look at numbers, stats, and scores.
Yes.
How everybody did.
Even though not everybody played, it's preseason, and they sat quite a few people. And there were a few people disappointed about it, too, but not me. I was fine with it. But, let's dig into it. The Jazz last night, they hosted the 36ers, is it the Australian team?
Yeah.
Part of the NBL league. And, this is like the third year in a row they've been doing this with, the 36ers? I'm trying to remember.
That sounds right.
So, and, as I mentioned, they sat, let's go down the list. Mike Conley sat, Rudy Gobert sat, Donovan Mitchell sat. Dante Exum didn't play.
Yeah.
Who else?
Moutier,
that's right. Moutier did not play either. So, but we did get a chance to see some other Jazz guys get on the court. Joe Ingles. I don't think that Quinn could have gotten away with telling Joe Ingles he had to sit last night because this is the 36ers, this is the NBL, this is Australia. You know where he wanted to be. So,
yeah.
He had to be out there. We got a chance to see Bogdanovich, Jeff Green, Davis. What are your initial thoughts of the game?
I only watched the first half, and then I had to go. But I liked looking back at it and seeing the final score. And, you know, the Jazz should beat Adelaide no matter how many people they sit. But they beat them handily. They won by 52 points. And that's with the starting lineup of Nigel Williams-Goss, Bojan, Joe Ingles, Ed Davis, and Jeff Green. And the thing that I loved the most is that Tony Bradley was 18-10. Like, could this mean something? Could it mean he's actually going to contribute something to the team this year? I was very excited about that. And I thought everybody looked good, really. I mean, Niang was the only one who had a bad shooting night. Everybody did well. So even though the competition isn't that great and it is preseason, the other team still wanted to play with pride, and the Jazz just stomped them.
It's interesting. You saw the first half. I saw all of the game, although I was in and out because I was running some errands, doing a couple other things, really wasn't able to focus entirely on it. The first half seemed to be the part where they struggled the most, though. Second half, mm-hmm. They kind of opened up the play and took off. Bradley, you mentioned Bradley, had himself a monster game. I mean, granted, it's preseason. It's not NBA talent that they were going up against per se. But to see Bradley put in the numbers he did, and, you know, the thing about the Jazz as a whole last night, defense was their mantra last night, as we expect it will be all season. And they showed it. Bradley was dominant in the middle. Davis had himself a really good game. And then you had, I mean, Royce had a really, really good game as well. But that doesn't take away from the fact that they struggled in the first half. I mean, there were some struggles. And part of that has me concerned when you get against NBA talent. And into the season. But right now, I don't think we can overanalyze too much preseason. You just can't.
Yeah.
So, They've got who is it? Is it the Lakers on Wednesday?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the Lakers on Wednesday while you're looking, and I think it's the Pelicans on Friday.
A few more of the teams are going to be playing these. There's some China. I see New Zealand on the schedule for some of the other NBA teams. It's a lot of international play in preseason, which is smart.
Yep. In fact, Houston.
Oh, they play the Bucks.
The Bucks, not the Lakers. The Bucks. My bad. I said the Lakers. That's right. It's the Bucks. Houston was one of the early getters on preseason, and they played this last week. Earlier this week, they played against an overseas team as well. So yeah, there is quite a few more of these international teams coming to the U.S. to play during preseason, which I think is good.
Mm-hmm.
So. Any other thoughts from last night? Anything else that you saw that maybe has you concerned at all at this point? Or again, is it not time to overanalyze yet?
I would say not time to overanalyze because they sat so many of their guys. It is the first preseason game. It's fun to look at it and see stuff like Royce O'Neal was a plus 34, but, it was weak talent. I think that we will get a little more information when we see them going up against, the Bucks and the Pelicans and Blazers. And even then, it's still preseason. But maybe if more of their guys play, then we'll have a little better idea than we can, analyze a little more and get excited.
Is there any of the young guys, I will say, that maybe got some time last night that might – earn themselves some playing time as the season rolls around? I mean, Bradley, you mentioned, is there anybody else that maybe could see some playing time in the season at all, or rotational time of any sort, or any guys of note that maybe have an opportunity?
Nigel Williams-Goss did perfectly fine starting point guard. He was pretty decent. I would say that he's going to be like Neto, where he probably sits most games, but every once in a while he's going to get minutes here and there. I think he showed that he could handle that kind of level. Trying to remember who else. The thing with this game and the thing with preseason in general is that most of the players looked good. And so it's kind of hard to really gauge that when you have your three best players weren't even playing, and then two other guys you expect to be in the rotation. So, hard to say.
Okay. Well, that's fine. We don't have to go too deeply into it. Like I said, that we'll have to discuss it as things continue. Do you expect the Jazz starters that sat last night to really get any time, very much time, I should say, in the upcoming preseason games? Because, that leads into my next thought is, did it bother you that they sat last night or that they could sit most of preseason?
When I first heard about it, yeah, but when the game actually was going, no, not really. Nobody played more than 22 minutes. It's fine.
Okay. And when I first heard the news, I actually wasn't bothered by it. I think it's good. Because, again, preseason, as we've learned, really doesn't mean much. I mean, there's not much to put into it, because the Jazz could go undefeated in preseason, and then you're out the gate in the regular season, and you're 2-7 in your first nine. It's nothing to shake a stick at. And you want to see chemistry early, but you also want to limit playing time simply because you don't want to hurt your guys before they get a chance to get into the meat of the season. So part of me thinks let's protect these guys for a little bit longer, and let's let the younger guys showcase their game. Let's let the depth play for a little bit and get their opportunities. So it didn't really bother me at all, honestly.
Okay.
So, all right. That is Utah Jazz news for the week. Anything else on that?
No, I think that's good.
All right, moving on to the NBA news and notes. You have only one item listed in here. I'm intrigued. I want to hear about it. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I wanted to talk about the actual measurements of players, but I thought by now that I would know that all the other teams would have been released, and I don't know if I can't find them or what. I've only seen it for the Sixers.
Yeah.
But they released everybody's actual measurements and actual height, and most players, I would say with them anyway, it wasn't surprising. Most players without shoes, they're anywhere from a half inch to an inch and a half shorter than they've been advertising, but there really wasn't that much fudging with height. The thing that jumped out to me most was that Neto is actually a half inch taller than Trey Burke. So I was amused by that. Yeah, I'm hoping
that's
by
funny.
Next week we actually do have the measurements of everybody.
Okay.
I just am entertained by that.
I guess maybe I don't see it, but what is the big deal about this? I guess I'm not understanding why this is such a big thing around the league and that height is becoming such a hot topic.
Because they know guys lie about it. Some guys like to always claim they're shorter than they were, and most guys like to claim they're a little taller than they were. And, you know, now they can't do that anymore.
But what
What
advantage does it give, though? Because you get on the NBA court, they're going to play the same and do exactly the same regardless. So what advantage does it give? That's why I don't understand. Why fudge it to begin with? But why is it a big deal? I don't understand that. It's not affecting the play on the court.
I think it's psychological. I think sometimes, like when you're looking at trades or signing a guy, I think a guy's height comes into play where they're like, maybe, I don't know. Say you want to sign this shooting guard. And he's 6'4", and you're like, well, he seems a little short for a shooting guard, but okay. And then you find out later he's actually just 6'2". I think psychologically that affects things.
Okay.
And there's guys like Kevin Garnett always wanted to say he was 6'11", but everyone knew he was at least 7 feet, probably 7'1". But he just liked the psychological thing of not being 7 feet to play his position because he enjoyed small forward position the most. And so
okay.
He just liked to claim he's 6'11". And my understanding is Kevin Durant's the same way, that he's really 7 feet, but he likes to say that he was 6'11" to kind of keep him in more of a small forward traditional height range.
Okay.
And it just came out that Zion Williams is actually only 6'6", where he's been advertised 6'7" this whole time. But, you know, I guess I'll have more to say on it next week. I had heard everyone was going to have it released by now, but I am not having an easy time finding
okay. What
they were.
All right. Well, more on that next week then. We'll touch on that.
Yep.
The one thing we didn't touch on because we didn't record last week, SI had their top 100 the week before. Last week, ESPN dropped their top 100. Did we get to talking about that or no?
Yeah, we did because the Jazz came out the best.
That's right.
Only team with two teams with
the
top five players and the top 65.
See, this is what happens when we miss a week. I forget what we did talk about and what we didn't. That's right. That was a couple weeks back. Never mind. I'm trying to think if there's other NBA news because I don't. Lakers played last night preseason. I really didn't catch what happened. In fact, I didn't because I couldn't watch it because it was not displayed on national TV that I know of. LeBron and AD combined for 38 in the first half versus the Warriors. So I guess that's news. 38.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, it's preseason, but, the Lakers,
exactly.
they played their guys. Looking at it, all the guys that didn't play was due to injury like Kuzma, but
right.
Yeah, it's like these two teams played with pride and they played their guys.
In fact, the guy that played the most minutes was off the bench. Daniels played 25 minutes. But otherwise, you had... Okay, I think that's hilarious. It said, the headline says, LeBron James, Anthony Davis combined for 38 points in the first half, when actually they only combined for 37 points. So, okay, whatever.
37 points total, yeah. Just look.
That's funny. Let's fudge scores now while we're at it. Sheesh. So, like you said, preseason, like we've all said, we can't look too much into it. I'll be curious to see what happens with teams. Across the board last night, Magic in preseason beat the Spurs 125-89. Pacers beat the Kings 130-106. Those were the other two games last night. So, not much going on in either spot, really. But, in fact, Forbes was big for the Spurs last night, had 24 points. Meanwhile, it's just even balance scoring for the Magic last night. So, yeah, again, I'm just happy basketball's back. We've got basketball back. Preseason is on its way. We're kicking things in gear now, and we've got the season is just a couple of weeks away. So, all right, anything else to touch on this week?
As far as the NBA goes, nah.
All right.
Moving on.
Well, moving on. We do Devin's quick hits, but Devin is not here. But we can touch on a couple of things if we'd like. Is there anything college football or NFL you wanted to touch on?
Just that, you know, BYU lost to, who was it, Toledo?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, it's just not going well.
No, and the Utes beat Washington State last week as well. So Huntley had himself another big game. So the Utes, but the Pac-12, interesting little mess going on because you had some other games in the Pac-12 yesterday that were big. Late game last night, I didn't catch the final of it. Oh, wait, let's talk other local. LSU romped Utah State last night, 42-6, or yesterday morning, I should say. Was not pretty for Utah State yesterday. Okay, who else? I was getting to the Pac-12. Oregon won last night. They beat Stanford Stanford?
I think so.
Yes. In the meantime, Washington lost last night again. This time they lost to Cal. No, I got it backwards. Sorry. Oregon beat, oh my goodness, I am losing it here. Oregon beat Cal yesterday. Washington lost to Stanford last night. That's what it was. Mm. So interesting. The only reason why I mention these is Washington last week or a couple weeks ago beat BYU. Everybody, you know, they've been the talk of the town. It seems the Pac-12 has got some balance going on. Or imbalance, whatever you want to call it, with teams beating up on each other right now. The Utes still have some pretty good opportunity in the Pac-12, it looks like.
Yeah, they do. I think they're kind of wobbly as far as getting into the national championship, because I do think they're going to have another loss on their schedule at some point. But
right.
When they still have a good shot at the Pac-12 championship, which is, you know, pretty good. It looks really wobbly for them a couple weeks ago, but it looks like the whole conference is going to be wobbly against each other. And
yeah, exactly.
Chalk it up to parity, you know?
Yep. So, anyway, I wanted to touch on that simply because I've been kind of a sideline watcher of what's going on with the Pac-12. I was just curious to see. So, here's to Utah having an opportunity. And then I can't think of anything NFL. We're up to week 4 now, I believe, or 5. But this is where we need Devin, because Devin gets all these quick hits going on this stuff. So, I don't know, anything else you want to hit on? If not, let's move into pop culture.
Well, I just wanted to say on the NFL, and we are recording Sunday morning, so by the time people listen to this, there'll be a lot more results. But as of this moment in time, at 9:17 a.m., there are three undefeated teams, and it's the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the 49ers. And there are five teams that have no wins, and that is the Cardinals, the Redskins, the Broncos, the Bengals. Oh, there's six of them. The Jets and the Dolphins.
Wow.
So, Patriots and Chiefs, they were expected to be the strong ones in the AFC, and they are living up to it.
And of the three undefeated, you mentioned the Niners. Same again, the three undefeateds were the Niners,
Patriots and Chiefs.
Patriots and Chiefs. Of those three, who's the first to lose? I mean, I'm looking at the Niners' schedule. They play tomorrow night, Monday night, against the Browns. I don't suspect they'll lose that one. And then next week, they travel down to L.A. to play the Rams. That's a game where they might lose. Are the Niners the first teams to lose their first game, I think?
Well, the Browns are 2-2. They're not exactly a gimme.
No.
But I also didn't expect the Niners to start 3-0. So I think that'll actually be quite competitive.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. And I didn't expect it either. And I'm unexpectedly excited and happy, actually, as a Niners fan. So, speaking of the Chiefs being undefeated, holy crap, their quarterback looks really good right now.
Yeah.
So he's having himself a heck of a year. Last week, I think they said he was setting records too. So last week he had an incredible game. So kudos to the Chiefs. Andy Reid's got them going places right now. Let's see if they sustain it. You know, it's hard not to see them going places right now. And the Patriots, yeah, it's the Patriots. What more do we have to say right now? I know a lot of people aren't going to be happy with that, but it is what it is. They are the dominant dynasty of the last decade and a half. There's not much you can really do about it. Two decades for that matter. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that'll do it there. Let's move on to pop culture.
The movie I saw last week was Ad Astra. It's the Brad Pitt space movie.
I'm excited to hear about this because I've heard very, very good things about this. In fact, before you give your review, my critic friend who saw it said, this is everything that you wanted, oh my gosh, Interstellar to be. That this is everything Interstellar should have been, if not more. And I told him, I said, and I thought Interstellar was fantastic. And he said, yeah, it is. That tells you how good this was. So I want to hear if you agree and what you thought of this.
That's fair. I liked Interstellar, and I thought it had its problems. And I liked Ad Astra, and it had different problems. It's more, how do I explain this? It's more philosophical than action-y. There's a real deliberate pace to it, and so it reminded me more of Solaris and even 2001 at times.
Okay.
But it's really well done. I personally went in with low expectations because I heard it was slow, and I didn't really find it to be that way. It's just not, you're just not getting to a bunch of action scenes, but it's a very slow pace. It's kind of like Heart of Darkness or Apocalypse Now, where you have a character who's basically on this journey to find someone else, and he has all these other things happen to him as he is going on his journey. And the deeper into the journey, the more you just anticipate this final meetup. He plays an astronaut, and you know I can't remember if they ever said the years, but it's a few decades in the future because you know there's a Mars station and stuff. And his father had headed a mission to actually leave the solar system to find extraterrestrial life. And they had lost communication with his ship like 15 years ago and just assumed he was dead. But then they were starting to get signals that they believed he's actually still alive. And so Brad Pitt, they want him to actually go out there and try to communicate with him to convince his dad to come back to Earth and report. And Tommy Lee Jones plays his dad, and a lot of it is flashback, but you just know that he's eventually going to meet up with him, like you knew Martin Sheen's eventually going to find Marlon Brando in Apocalypse Now. And it was, I thought it was really engrossing. I thought Brad Pitt had a really good internalized performance. It's not, he wasn't relying on some of his usual swagger that you see in his roles. And
okay.
I thought it was just really interesting in that regard.
Okay. Well, it's definitely on my list of things I want to see. And like I said, I've heard plenty good about it. So I'm good. That's Ad Astra. I'm glad you saw it. I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it. So, I mean, I keep thinking about, you know, Interstellar was the other one I thought about. It was the one I thought about. And then there, of course, there was the one with, see, I forget the names. I draw blanks when I want to remember them, but the Amy Adams film.
Arrival?
Yes, which I loved.
There's similarities tone-wise.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff. There are elements of it that reminded me of Gravity.
Okay.
Yeah, there's plenty you can kind of pull and choose from to compare it, and Ad Astra is now in that conversation of space movies like this.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go, guys. Go see Ad Astra. I don't have anything to add to this week's pop culture either. I haven't really watched much lately, and no news that I can think of either. Trying to think. Well, since we last talked, Sony and Disney got back together, mended their ways. So we're going to get another Spider-Man.
And they've already announced that it's going to be summer 2021.
Yeah, tell me you didn't see that coming. I mean, it had to happen. Sony had to come back. You knew they would.
You knew they would. I don't know how. I did see that Tom Holland personally lobbied Sony to reopen talks. Cool.
Well, you know, he had to, because his job was as much on the line as anything, too, because he signed a contract for 3 movies and then the Avenger films. And realistically, if they didn't get back together, he wasn't going to be Spider-Man again. And that hurts
no,
Sony.
No, he would have.
Well, no, Sony, he'd have a contract situation that Sony would have to renegotiate. I don't know that Sony could do it again, because I think that it was an exclusive deal with Disney on that one, and Sony would have had to go out and find a different Spider-Man.
Oh. Well, I think they're going to anyway. I think they're going to get one more Tom Holland Spider-Man, and then Sony's going to back off from Disney again and go a different direction. But, yeah.
Huh. I guess if they want to, that's fine. But at that point in time, assuming the next one does as big as we anticipate, they've had a couple of billion-dollar films that you want to walk away from that and to go do something else later, then that's fine. But that's a couple of $1 billion you're walking away from.
Yep.
I don't know. It's unfortunate. This is another reason why Disney needs to get those rights to Spider-Man completely with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Then we don't have to worry about this.
Yeah.
Spider-Man and Hulk are the only two that Disney still don't own complete rights to.
Hulk?
Yeah. Hulk is Universal, I believe. So Disney still does not have him outright. They had to rent him, I believe.
I did not know that. Because, I mean, Hulk was like the second Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. Oh.
Yes, it was. And I think that was an agreement that they had with Universal at the time. Which is funny, because at the time, Marvel Cinematic Universe also released the first Iron Man movie as a Universal film, but it was done by the Disney Marvel Cinematic Universe. If you go back and look at it, I believe. That's what it was. I'd have to double check, but I believe that was those first couple of films were Universal films, not Disney films.
Hmm.
So, I mean, I'd have to look at the ownership and the rights still to confirm all of that, but I believe that those two are the only characters. All the rest of them now fall under the umbrella.
Well, it looks like, yeah, you're right. There it is, partner with Universal.
Yeah.
And the first couple Iron Man movies were partnered with Paramount.
There, that's what it was, Paramount, not Universal. Paramount, yes.
No, no, no. Hulk is Universal, but Paramount helped with the first couple Iron Man movies.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it was interesting to see the early days of Marvel Cinematic Universe weren't all completely solely Disney. So, yeah, we did. Marvel Cinematic Universe still doesn't own Hulk and still doesn't own Spider-Man. Sure, would sure love to see that finally come home where it belongs with all of them. But we'll see, maybe down the road. So I can't think of any other news, and that's a shortened show for the week, and that's okay. We shortened show. We missed Devin. We'll hit it hard next week. Anything else you can think of for this week's show?
Nope.
Oh,
I've got one out.
What's that?
I said I'm glad we got this out. What were you going to say?
Well, yeah, and we were overdue. No, I was going to say big shout out. You know, I didn't get a chance to do this previously because we haven't recorded, but a big shout out to Hu Tran and Jazz High Notes, Hitting the High Notes podcast with Hu Tran and Jared Barker. They had me on a couple weeks back. Shout out to Hu on the job he's doing over there at the Hitting the High Notes. It's a great podcast. All of you listening should check him out. Go out and support him. Go out and follow him on Twitter, Jazz High Notes. And Hu Tran, I have to find his handle because, you know, I want to give props where props is due. It is, where is it? Hu Tran Superman, H-U-U-T-R-A-N Superman. You want to talk a guy that knows his pop culture? He does too. So, John, I don't know if you follow him. You got to talk some pop culture with this guy. He knows his stuff. He loves pop culture and loves to talk about it a lot. So,
he's got it.
It is H-U-U-T-R-A-N Superman.
There he is.
So, but
I wanted to give a.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to give a shout out to the Uncontested. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, but they did a preview for all 30 teams where they called up local podcasters for all the other teams and did it. And I did the Utah Jazz preview and had a lot of fun doing that. I've been on theirs before. They do good work too.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate them having you on and appreciate Hu. And, hey, we appreciate everybody listening to us and being along with every ride. I mean, I posted a few weeks back where we had reached 5 years or we're closing in on 5 years as a podcast. It's been a great run. We've had a lot of great guests and we've had some great people support us and be along with us. So thank you to everyone out there who has worked with us, listened to us, supported us all along. And, of course, thank you to Devin, who, although he is not here this week, this show is a big part of what it is because he's with us every week, too. So thank you all for joining us. We'll talk to you again in another week or two. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.